Let's focus on God's word right now, right? Let's turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. They went up already. Hebrews chapter 11, let's stand as we read. Just a few verses, let's stand. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23 to 26. Hebrews chapter 11.
Hello.
Hebrews 11, verse 23 to 26. Okay, I'll read verse 23, then you read verse 24, and so on until we finish at verse 26, alright? Hebrews 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Verse 24.
By faith, Moses, when he was 100 years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter,
choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Amen. I'll be praying for our president and also I'll be praying for Brother Frank. All right, let's just pray before we go into the word. Lord, we thank you for the reading of your precious word. Lord, we know that you have things for us today contained in your word. I pray our hearts will be open to you. Lord, we just want to remember the newly elected president of Singapore. We pray that you help him, Father, to spend much time being a Christian with you. That, Father, he will have your views on any affairs of this nation. And I pray that whatever things, Lord, you say in your word, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. Father, we know you can move things through this president. I pray that he will be dedicated to you, to know you as a righteous judge first, Lord. Father, we pray for also Brother Frank, Lord, who has an infection in his heart. I pray, God, that as he takes the antibiotics, that you would help him to recover quickly. And Father, that you encourage his heart and help him, Lord, as he makes decisions with regards to his life, his work, his family, and Lord, also his Christian living. I ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will encourage him right now. And I pray most of all, Lord, that you help us to understand that God, life and death is in your hands. And our life on earth need to seek to glorify you above all. Thank you for what you're going to do. Now speak to us in a special way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. This is the final message on Christian and culture. I hope the Lord has touched your heart as to what it means to be true to God, as in Daniel, and how to overcome the world, as last week we learned from the Lord Jesus Christ. For those who come on Friday, I taught a simple lesson about the fact in Luke chapter 19 that when we follow Christ, it is Christ or nothing. God has taught us in His Bible that there is no middle ground between God and the world. There is no middle ground. Many churches seek to find that middle ground with the world. You find that God doesn't give that middle ground. Jesus mentioned clearly in the Bible, in the book of Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, I believe, he that is not for me is against me. He that is not for me is against me. And when Jesus said that, he was very clear that you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve the things of this world and try to serve God at the same time. A simple illustration is that if you have two boats, one leg on each boat, and if the boat moves further and further away, what's going to happen? Two things will happen. Firstly, your pants will split. Number two, you fall into the water. Okay? And so we cannot serve two things. Either we serve God or we serve mammon. Today we want to look at a man, a faithful man of God, an effective individual, a powerful man for God. His name is Moses. Moses' life started in a basket in the river. He was rescued and he was named Moses. The name Moses means taken from the river, okay? Moses' life was, he was then trained in the courts of Pharaoh. and he was educated in the things of this world. You see, Egypt in the Bible is always a picture of worldliness. It's always a picture of the things of this world. But you know, Moses, however, was greatly used by God. He defied and stood for God against Pharaoh. Okay, remember when he led the children of Israel out of Egypt, 2 million people. He was used by God to perform miracles that saved the children of Israel. Example, the Red Sea, and he fed the children of Israel. God fed the children of Israel with manna and quails for 40 years. Every day, the children of Israel had food for 40 years. And God used Moses. He was a great prayer warrior and intercessor. And Moses was a humble man. Do you realize that God called Moses the most humble man that have ever lived? How would you like that title from God? Uncle Roland, the most humble man that have ever lived. Okay, that was what God called Moses. Alright, none of us in this room have the privilege of that title. But can I say this? As much as Moses was humble, he did fall. That gives us hope. It tells us that Moses is still a man. Which also tells us that we can actually grow to spiritual effectiveness for God. Moses' life reflected this principle. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Wherefore therefore ye eat, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Moses' entire life reflected this principle in his life. He did everything to God's glory. Moses was set apart for God and His work. You know, God's will for His children. Let's turn to the book of John chapter 15. Alright, that's not in your list. But John chapter 15 verse 8. I want to show you God's will for every Christian. God's will for every Christian. If you are a Christian today, this is God's will for you. The Bible says, let's read it together, okay? John chapter 15 verse 8, ready? 1, 2, begin. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. It is God's will for every Christian to bear fruit. And it's important, as we look at the life of Moses, Moses was greatly used by God. The question is, can we also be greatly used by God? Brother Johnny, you must be kidding. You know, Moses opened the Red Sea. I have problems even opening the water in my fish pond or something like that. But Moses opened the Red Sea. Moses was able to do great and mighty miracles. I mean, he was a man of God. You know, in 2 Chronicles 16:9, if you look at your God gave this verse to a king. The Bible says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. The Bible says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. The word perfect in the Hebrew means at peace with God. A person who trusts God with that peace, that doesn't rush around. A person who fully puts his heart and faith in God. God is looking for someone that will be strong for Him in terms of their heart, that is at peace with Him, so that God can use that person. King Asa was that king here. A prophet came to Asa and said, look, you know, in the past, when you had problems with your neighboring enemies, you sought the Lord. You had 400,000 soldiers. You were able to defeat an army of close to 1 million soldiers. And the reason was because, King Asa, you sought the Lord. But why is it now, at the end of your life, you didn't want to seek God? If you read 2 Corinthians 16:9, King Asa did something foolishly. He decided to deal with the things of this world from his worldly perspective. And as a result, you realize King Asser, who started off as a godly king, began to deteriorate towards the last days of his life. Christians, it is not how you start the Christian race, it is how you finish. God wants us to be effective for Him. Moses failed, right? Moses failed. There was one time God said, speak to the rock. He struck the rock. And you know what? God told Moses, because of that act of defiance and rebellion against me, you are not going to enter the promised land. When God said that, God meant it. So Moses, all Moses got to do was do some sightseeing. He went to Mount Pisgah, and God said, there's your promised land, but you're not going to go in because of that one sin that you've committed. Can I say this? You may have an entire life of effectiveness. One sin can be your downfall. My concern for my own life is that God save me from that one sin. Because I'm human just like anyone here. God may bless ambassador, but one sin can topple ambassador. I think we all know that. You know what? We need our hearts to be at peace with God. But looking back at Moses again, how was Moses effective for God? I want to draw four principles from the book of Hebrews. The title of the message, How to be Effective for God in an Anti-God Culture. In Singapore, we live in a secular society. Religion is to have no mix with secular society. Even churches have difficulties renting places for church-related activities. There's community centers and all that. Once you say you're from a church and you want some, they will just close shop. Sorry, we don't entertain these kind of things. Right, for our VBS, we know in June, one of our sisters wrote emails to a lot of primary schools, all come back, rejected. Alright, they didn't give the proper reason, but we know, we live in a secular society. Alright, the principal who told me, MOE will not entertain that. That is the government that we have. You know, but as Christians, we are put here. So what do we do? Some people, right, Johnny, you can't beat them, so you might as well join them, right? Right? Huh? You can't beat them, you join them, right? Huh? I'm not trying to incite rebellion. But I'm saying God has His principles. Because God knows this world is going to be a Gentile world. Or rather, this world is going to be an anti-God world. But you know, the encouragement for us, in the Bible, there are Christians in anti-God cultures who live successfully for God. Amen? And we want to find four principles from here in Moses' life that we can apply to our lives. Number one, look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. How was Moses effective for God? By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. How was Moses effective for God? He had parents of faith. Let it sink in. Moses was effective for God because he had parents of faith. By faith, Moses, was hid 3 months of his parents. If you look at Numbers 26, verse 59, before you even look there, what is the name? I have long already. But what is the name of the parents? You know, how many of you know the name of Moses' parents? Put your hand. Some of you may know, okay, because you read the notes already, right? Yeah. If you don't read the Bible or study, you probably will never know the parents or the name of the parents of Moses, Amram and Jochebed. You look at Numbers 26, verse 59, and the name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, the daughter of Levi, whom her mother bare to Levi in Egypt, and she bare unto Amram Aaron and Moses and Miriam their sister. This is a family of Moses. Notice they were from the tribe of Levi, the priestly tribe, the tribe that God used to be set apart for Him alone. Huh? If you understand anything of the 12 tribes of Israel, all the tribes were given inheritance except the tribe of Levi. They were to be set apart for the worship of God. Can I say this, Christian parents? You are priests unto God. Fathers and mothers, before God, you are priests for your children. Of course, father is the head of the house, you are the priest. And every father is a pastor of your own house. Did you know that? And you have been ordained by God because you are the father. And your parents and your children are special in the sight of God. You are to be a parent of faith in a culture where parents abandon children to helpers, maids, child cares, and other people. Parents, we are to be an example for our children. When in the culture that we live in, these children are oftentimes abandoned to the child cares. God wants us, parents, to be spiritual guide to our children. But Brother Johnny, you know my parents are not Christians. That's where the church comes in. That's where the church comes in. I've oftentimes told the people who serve, sometimes even in the children's ministry, we are surrogate parents to some of these people. I was talking to one, I shared before, I share again, but it just came to my mind, this boy, he was really rowdy and he was like, words come out of his mouth. So during one of the VBS, I put him aside and I began to speak to him, and he was kind of the kind of face, you know. And he's 9 years old, and I asked him, I said, sorry, you come here, I talk to you, because he was really creating a lot of sin, a big sin. And so I spoke to him, and I asked him, where are you from? Richard, why? The kind of attitude. Why are you laughing? Barabba, give it to him, right? And then when I ask him one question, what do your parents do? I don't leave my parents. He said, why? Because they're separated. And then tears began to roll down his eyes. In my heart, that's why he's like that. You don't think Christian homes, we are not spared from that as well. Moses was able to be effective because he had parents of faith. He had parents of faith. I want to ask this question. Is it possible for Christian parents to have no faith? Is it possible for Christian parents to have no faith? Oh yeah, we are non-believing believers. Is it possible? Of course it is. Because faith comes in different types. One is saving faith, and we trust God for our salvation. That's saving faith. But you know what? We need living faith. Faith to live on a daily basis. That's why many Christians fall down when it comes to that. How do I know Moses' parents were parents of faith? Number one, they made their decisions based on faith. Notice the Bible says, Hebrews 11:23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. Because they saw he was a proper child. The Pharaoh said, I want you to throw your child into the Nile River if he's a male child. Every male child is supposed to be thrown in the Nile River and killed. The parents said no. God gave this child to us. That is faith. You know, if we live by the principles of this world, we will follow the principles of this world. Unless there's a higher principle that will lead you. And so Jochebed and Amram said, Pharaoh said to throw our child, what should we do? This child is given to us by God. How can we do that? And they decided to do the best. Do you realize the type of faith they had? What did Jochebed and Aaron do? They put their child, they couldn't contain it anymore. After 3 months, the child will cry and make a lot of noise and say, he's definitely going to attract attention. What did they do? Do you realize in Exodus chapter 3, they put the child into a basket, bushel basket. They put it, and they try to waterproof it. They put it, you know where? In the crocodile-infested Nile River. Now that puts a different perspective of their faith, right? And you know what? When they put the child there, the Bible never say. But the Bible says by faith they hid their children 3 months. And after that, when they couldn't do it any longer, God, you've got to take control. And the best thing they know how, they put the basket. And apparently, history tells us that there was a place that the Pharaoh's daughter would go and bathe. But it's interesting because the Pharaohs actually have their own place of bathing, a little bit the daughter and all that. They have their own special place to bathe and all that. Why in the world should a Pharaoh's daughter go down to the river Nile to bathe? But you know what? That was faith. I don't have all the answers about Moses' life here. But the parents knew we cannot kill our children. And when they put the child into the bushel basket, God, you take charge. God, we need you. We can't do it anymore, God. Parents made their decision based off faith always includes God in the equation of your life. At any time in your decision making, when it's only human principle, when it's only financial concerns, when it's only the things of this world, and God doesn't come in His word or anything, you know what? That's not faith. You mark it down. You do not have faith. You operate primarily on fear. You operate primarily on fear. They make decisions based on faith. Parents, can I challenge you? The next decision you make for your child, ask God to come to your family conference. Make sure God is in your family conference. Make sure God's word is primary. If you're not too sure, you email me, SMS me, or someone you can trust spiritually. Lord, what are the things I need to consider if I want to put God in this equation? Number one, they made decisions based on faith. Number two, their eye of faith saw that Moses was special. Hebrews 11:23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. He was a proper child. The word proper means, get this, it means handsome. He means handsome. When you look at Ezra, you think he's a handsome boy? You see? he always do his what? Jairus is the best imitator of Ezra. Can you say it again? Ezra will show his drawing or whatever. You see? Or something like that. They were not afraid. They saw that he was a proper child. Parents of faith will always see their children as proper, handsome. Or maybe for girls, it's beautiful. Can I say this? You will not only see their children as beautiful with eyes of faith, you will be praying for their child, Lord, use my son, use my daughter for your glory. The word proper has to do with God has endowed this child with normal health, normal eyesight. He was a proper child. Can I say this, parents? Don't give your child to the world by giving them influences that are wrong. Because Moses was effective because the parents could see, I'm not going to give this child to the world. I'm not going to have Pharaohs have this child. I'm going to push and let God take charge. Because why? Through eyes of faith, he saw that Moses was special. Those of you with children, do you see your children as special? Don't surrender your children to the world. Don't do that. Because God made him special. Brother Johnny, I'm not married. Then whoever you take care of, God use this person. Use this little 3-year-old, Lord, that may not have much now, but God, help me to provide an environment whereby the person can grow to love you next time. Their eye of faith saw that Moses was special. Number three, under the parents had faith, they were not afraid of the God of this world. By faith, Moses, Hebrews 11:23, when he was born and hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, they were not afraid of the king's commandment. The Pharaoh in those days were considered God. Okay? The Pharaoh in the days of the Egyptian Empire were considered God. And if anyone do not listen to Pharaoh, they risk great punishment, including death. But you know what Jochebed and Amram say? We're not afraid of the commandment. We're not afraid. When this world comes and threatens us, well, if you don't go through this educational system, your child is going to lose out. You're going to lose your EduSave. You're going to have to pay. That's what homeschoolers do. You have to pay. We give you year by year renewal for the primary 1 to primary 6 for your, concession card. But when it comes to secondary 1, that's it. You pay adult fare. You're going to lose out on all the opportunities in your friends. Oftentimes in homeschooling kind of ideas, many people say, you're depriving them. You're depriving them. The world will come and say, then parents will get to, oh yeah, maybe I should think again. We should not be afraid of the king's commandment. You know why? Because by faith, parents could see, I'm not going to be afraid of what society will think. I'm going to be more afraid of what God will think. If I'm going to expose my children to influences that are not godly. They were not afraid of the God of this world. The world oftentimes threatens the children of God, and parents are sometimes fearful for their children. What will happen if I do not give my children the opportunity when we should be actually praying for our children that they live for God? The world has many dangers for our children and many times against our children and us, but we do not need to be afraid. We face the future with faith, not fear. Amen? You know, guys don't believe that. We need to face our fear. I'm not on Tony Tan's side, alright? That one is different. We face the future with God's faith, not by fear. Many... Thank you. We need to trust God. So what? If our children... I have gone through that kind of thinking. What if my children lose out? But I'm beginning to think, they're not losing out. They are not losing out. Because this, what this world can offer to my children is nothing compared to what God can offer our children. Amen? Oh yeah, they may not have all the latest technological gadgets. They may not have much. But yeah, Christ, they have everything. Amen? We need to change our mindset. Parents, we need to change our mindset. We need to change our mindset. You don't have to be afraid of this world. Moses was effective for God. Oh, this, I must finish it. If God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, how we need parents of faith. Trusting the Lord and living by His principle. Moses was effective because he had parents of faith. Parents, we need to be parents of faith. We need to believe God more than we should now. We need to trust Him for everything. Number one, he had parents of faith. How was Moses effective? Number two, look at Hebrews 11 verse 24. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the sons of Pharaoh's daughter. Number two, he refused the benefits this world would give to him. He refused it. Pharaoh was the most powerful man on earth during that time. To be in his family was great privilege. To be his daughter's son was, he had the best universities and he was a great man. Notice what the Bible says in Acts chapter 7 verse 22. Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. Guys, he was not just your normal man in the street. Alright, he knew here and he knew in his hand. He was a man that was sought after. Why? He was one of the top scholars. Perhaps maybe he was in Harvard or Princeton or whatever in the States, or maybe Oxford or Cambridge in UK. Of course, other universities that are supposed to be great. He had the best university education, and not only was he learned in the wisdom of Egypt, he was also a man mighty in deeds. He was also practical in his life, and people could see his wisdom in his life. He went to the top universities of the... He had great benefits. Greatness awaits him. Fame. He probably will not be, alright, contrary to thinking, he will not be the next Pharaoh, because the Pharaoh ascension to the throne do not go through the daughters. Okay? Alright, usually goes through the sons. But, you know what? To be in Pharaoh's court itself is already a great privilege. He had all the things going for him. This world tells us if you give your heart to studying hard and working hard for a living, you will achieve your dreams. You will achieve what you want. The world has many benefits that will attract the child of God. But Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused. The word refuse means I absolutely deny, I reject whatever Pharaoh's daughter can give me, whatever the world can give me. The word reject, refuse means I reject it. I reject it. Okay, he refused this worldly title, the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That was a big title. Notice, when did he refuse it? When he was come to years. You know, parents, in that is a learning point for us. There comes a time in the decision-making process of your children or even of yourself, that there is a decision to be made. Am I going the way of this world? Or am I going to go the way of the Lord? And can I tell you, if you as parents do not input God's principles from young and allow the world to educate your children, you are going to find when your child is come of years, he is going to choose the title of the son of Pharaoh's daughter, worldliness. That's why statistics tell us 70% of young people in churches leave church when they reach 17, 18, 19 years old. You know why? Because all along, parents thought they were educating their children. But no. The devil deceived them in thinking the things of this world are more important. I teach my children, it's okay, we thank God for food. I know it's better if you don't have much, it's just a meal of vegetables. It's more important where their love is. You know, parents, what are we teaching our children? When Moses was come to years, when it was time of maturity to make the decision, Moses says, I do not want that. His heart was already settled. How did he refuse it? Once again, he refused it. Notice in verse 24, he refused it by faith. By faith. What does that mean? What does that mean that he refused it by faith? Notice whose faith did he have? Can I say again? Whose faith did Moses have? Parents' faith! I wish you could just understand this. Do you know how much time did Moses have with the parents? Thank God as a bushel basket went out. And of course, the Pharaoh's daughter actually paid the mom to take care. There was a period of time. But you know that period of time was short. And it was much time. You know what? The mom gave all she could of her faith to Moses. Enough to last 40 years. And when the time was come to make decision, I refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Because I know I'm a Hebrew. And I belong to Jehovah. Well, that was encouraging. You know, he may have said this. I'm just imagining. But I'm a Hebrew. I know the God of my fathers. How can I follow the ways of Egypt that both deny my God and persecute my people? Moses knew his God. And by faith, he said, I do not want the title of the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Even though I may be richly gained by it. Because being the son of a worldly ruler would be inconsistent with being the child of the Most High God. I say that again. Because being the son of a worldly ruler would be inconsistent with being the child of the Most High God. How can we be a child of God and conform to the principles of this world? He refused by faith. He refused by faith because he was taught to him by his parents. Oh, this is a wonderful expression of Proverbs 22 verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, that when he's old, he will not depart from it. For those who do not come for Sunday Bible Hour, I would strongly encourage you to come next week. We'll talk about education and how the environment is important. What does God want us to teach our children? The faith of the parents. But Moses right now took, as it were, ownership of the faith. Now I am making the decision. I do not want to be called the son of Pharaoh. He refused by faith because he saw the faith in his parents as they lived for God. And where did that faith come from? It comes from God's word. Romans chapter 10 verse 17. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Number one, he refused by faith. Number two, he refused by a definite decision. Definite decision. In John chapter 6 and verse 68, and Daniel chapter 1 verse 8. Look at John chapter 6 verse 68. This was a definite decision by Simon Peter. At a time when everyone was walking away from God. Jesus preached a mighty message about the living bread that comes from heaven. Out of the 5,000 people that were fed, interestingly, the Bible says 5,000 men. Assuming half of them were married, then it means there were 2,500 women, 7,005, right? Assuming each family got two children, so how many is that? 7,005 times 2. There was literally... Do you realize in the feeding of the 5,000, it wasn't 5,000, it was close to 20,000 people that got fed. At that massive demonstration of God's power and provision, how many people was left to follow Jesus at the end? 12. Jesus had to ask the question of his disciples in John chapter 6, verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said unto them, will ye also go away? When it became hard to follow God, when it came to the point, I have to give up the things of this world. You know, the Bible says, out of the 20,000 people, only 12 remain. And the Bible says, even within that 12, there's one that had the devil, Judas Iscariot. You know what Peter said? Peter made a definite decision. Yeah, we always said Peter is a very impulsive person. But he stuck with the Lord. In John chapter 6, verse 6, he said, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Parents, that's faith. Christians, that is faith. Let me ask you a question. Does Jesus have the words of life for you? Does he have? Yes. Are there situations in your life that God cannot bring life when you thought he was dead? You know what Peter made in front of everyone and says, thou have the words of eternal life. To whom shall we go? You know why when we want to join the church, you know why you have to make a profession of faith for your baptism? Because Jesus says, you confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father in heaven. If you are unwilling to confess your faith, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. Because you love Jesus and you want to tell. You want to tell. We need to make a decision. He refused not only by faith, but he also refused it by a decision. The Bible says, Psalm 119 verse 112, I'll just read, thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever. They are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. That's what the psalmist said. The psalmist said, Lord, the word of God is my rejoicing. I have inclined, I have decided that I'm going to obey it unto the end. Have you decided to obey God unto the end? Do you know why sometimes we are wavering in our Christian life? Because in some parts, we treat Christianity like a religious buffet. I like the prawns, but I don't like the sotong. I like this kind of vegetable, but I don't like that kind of fish cake. I like this rice, but I don't like that noodles. We pick and choose when God gives us His whole counsel so that we can be an all-rounded man for God. Now, coming to church, we don't just deal with spiritual thing. What about education? What about relationships? What about family living? All these things God deals with. Can I say this? We need to reject and refuse the things of this world. At least in your heart. At least in your heart. One of my students one time. I'm an occupational therapist, so sometimes I do have students attached to me, okay? Now this particular student was a bit, she wasn't strange, that she was very different from the many attachment students that come from Nanyang Polytechnic to me. Her life was, she had a very tragic end to the mom, okay? And I can't tell you what it is, but it just, at the time that she came as a student, they know I'm a pastor, so they attached this student to me, okay, hoping I'll help a bit. But she was very different from the others in that she had no heart for iPhones, she had no heart for the technological gadget all his friends were inclined towards. And she was telling me that, I don't need those. Then I realized the tragedies and the difficulties she faced caused her to see life in a different perspective. She had another perspective of life. She knew that life is not all about the things of this world, the attraction of the world. She's not a Christian. But to her, the things that I've experienced in my life have taught me, that's what she said, the things of this world is not as important as I think it was. You know, it's said that as Christians, having God's word, that as Christians, we still love the world as much as we should. Without judging other churches, I think as Christians in general, the youth of today do not know God's word as much, do not obey God's word as much, and therefore are not as strong spiritually in their witness as they should be. Oh yeah, you have a good time, so-called, among your Christian friends. But let me ask you, what conversation do you have with your Christian friend? Is it about the latest technology? Is it about the latest rock stars? Is it about the latest... Is it about exams only? When God says to exalt one another, when you come together, do you realize, youth? When you come together, you need to be encouraging each other to walk in the faith. You can talk about all your technology in your schools, but when you come to church, when you come to a Christian fellowship, you know what you need to do? You need to talk about the faith. You need to talk about the faith. People, I always ask this question, how are you spiritually? Okay. The word okay can mean a thousand things. Are you spiritually okay today? We need to decide. It could be that today, you need to decide, God, I'm going to refuse that. Like this lady in 1984, Singapore was going through a recession. Many people lost their jobs. This lady, whom I remember, she is about 10 years my senior, and she was looking for a job. She couldn't find a job. Then one job came out. She has been jobless for 4 months. 4 months. And she was in the church, and then she was sharing with the youth group that she was called out for the interview. And she was told that she has to work on Sunday. Her response was, thank you. And she told us that she refused the job immediately because he needed to go to church. You know, we live in a culture today in modern Singapore, Sundays are never set apart in our hearts for God. Sundays are not so valuable. I'm not saying all. Some people are treating Sundays, You know, God instituted a day of rest. You know when do you realize when did God institute a day of rest that we would settle down and worship Him? Mark it down. God instituted it not during the Mosaic Law. He instituted in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. And God saw that all things He made was perfect, and He set apart one day. Why do you think God set it apart? Do you think God needed to rest? Does God need to rest? No! God, He doesn't need to rest. He set it for example for us. He knew we need to rest. From the business of this life, to set our life apart, and say, God, we need to refocus on You again. Some of us are busy Monday to Saturday. We had people working here who didn't even, during the elections, they had to work like crazy, rush out the newspapers and all that kind of thing. They had to work. But you know what? You need a time to just settle down and say, God, I want to refocus on You. We need to decide. We need to decide that when the church doors are open, I'll be there. We need to decide that regardless of what happened, Lord, I will spend at least 20 minutes to read my Bible every day so that You can communicate with me. We need to decide that, God, I'm going to pray 15 minutes. We need to decide that I'm going to be a blessing to my family members. We need to decide to forgive. We need to make decisions not to live the way of this world as Moses did. He refused by decision. Number three. Number one, he had parents of faith. Number two, he refused the benefit of this word. Number three, he chose in Hebrews 11 verse 25, I'll read, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Number three, he chose the straight and narrow way. The straight and narrow way. Why do I say it's a straight and narrow way? Because the Bible says the word suffer affliction means torture, maltreatment, to suffer adversity. He chose the hard way. How many of you, if you have the easy way and the hard way, how many of you will choose the easy way? Put up your hand. I don't bluff. Thank God, there's some people I want. Generally, if there's two ways, I'm not saying every time you must choose. How, if there are certain times, you know, if like say in a project, if I choose a more convenient way, but it gets a job done and things like this, it doesn't cut any corners, it's easier, fine, you know. But you know, in terms of spiritual living, can I say there is no instant devotion for the busy executive? There are some devotionals, instant devotion for the busy, 2 minute devotions. And you know, too much Maggie noodles is also not good for you. Yes? And by the way, if you read those devotions, someone has already chewed it, packed it in the pit and give it to you. All processed already. You understand what I'm saying? There comes a time in your Christian life that devotionals are useful when you are young as a Christian. But when you grow older as a Christian, this one has to be your food. How many of you are still eating baby food now? Put up your hand. Minus Ruth. Okay? Minus those below 3. How many of you are still eating baby food? Tell me. If you are eating baby food, then go ahead with your devotionals. You know what I mean? There comes a time in your Christian life that you have to seek the Lord yourself. And God, what do you say? What do you say? In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 14, the Bible says, "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." You know, when you read this verse, you realize one thing. Jesus says, the way to life eternal is the straight and narrow way. That's scary. We have mega churches, thousands of people so-called becoming Christians. Things seems to be easy. Is it possible? Some of them may not be saved. I think I've shared before, sometimes when every time I go door knocking, I always ask, "Are you sure, sir, if you die right now, you'll be in heaven?" I can tell you, so far, it's only a handful. And I've been tracking for the last 20 years. Only a handful can say, "I know I'm going to heaven because Jesus Christ has saved me. He's my son." Oftentimes I hear, "Well, that's up to God." Or, "I don't think so." Or, "We'll see how." Please don't see how. Okay? Because once you go out into eternity, after this life, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after that, the judgment, there's no second chance. So please, don't play a fool with your soul if you're not saved today. There's no second chance. But you know, the straight and narrow way, the word straight means difficult way. What does it mean? In Hebrews 11:25, the three things that Moses did, number one, he chose to be maltreated. Okay, he chose to be maltreated. The word maltreated has to do with the word suffer affliction. It has to do with torture, pain, persecution. In other words, the difficult life. Some people, as a Christian, we always want to look for the easy way. I've had this before. "Can you move the service a bit later? So because I to sleep a bit more. Can you adjust? Another time I say, what time is a good time for everyone? Will you plan at 10 o'clock? The people come at 10:30. So, you know my planning, I'll give you a secret. I always plan a bit earlier, because I plan to start here. Does that make sense? We live in a culture of convenience. Everything must be easy for us. Can I say this? If we are to be disciplined Christians, 9:30 means 9:30. I know I'm stepping on toes here. I know sometimes traffic is difficult. I know, I understand, okay? All these things is in my mind also as I plan. But can I challenge you? Jesus says that we need to follow His commandments at the way He said it. As a Christian, we are to be obedient to Christ 100%. No negotiation. She's already, "No, I don't want. Okay, so that's... But you know, in Moses' time, many people of this world would choose the convenient way out, not Moses. He was the prince of Egypt. He gave up that robes to go into the pit to suffer the torture together. Listen to this. In his heart, he said this. If following Christ means I'll be insulted, ridiculed, I'll do it. If that's what it means. For some Christians say, you know, as I serve Christ, it's not so hard. Can I say, if you serve Christ and it's hard, I congratulate you because that's the Christian life? Amen? Lord, help us. When you serve God and say, oh, it's hard, welcome to the Christian life. Because Philippians 1:29, for it is given on the behalf of you not only to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but to suffer for His sake. The principle of the kingdom of heaven is contrary to the kingdom of this world. If you choose to live for Christ, mark it down. You will have friends who will reject you. You will have people who will not like you. You have people who will not stand your standards. Why? Because you are living for the King of Heaven. Amen? And that's why. And God is not going to... No, it's a bit better now. But God is... The Bible says, if this world loves you, you're not from God. If this world loves you, if this world loves you, you're not from God. Because the principles are contrary. When you do the right thing, you can be maltreated and you can be seen as weak. Are you willing to do that? Not Moses. Moses says, I'm going to do the right thing. I will not compromise what I believe. He chose to be maltreated. Now, someone has said, I don't mind being the doormat if Jesus is the door. Let's be doormats for Christ. Okay? Moses was effective for God because he was willing to suffer the affliction. Number two, Hebrews 11:25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Make no mistake, the sin of this world is pleasurable. It gives you a high. When the people of this world smoke and drink, when they participate in the rock and roll culture, in the computer culture, in the moral, in the immoral culture, in the high life culture, you may enjoy these things quietly and gives you pleasure, but it robs you of your effectiveness for God. How many people chose not to serve God because they were so addicted to their computer games? They cannot get up for church on the next day. How many people will read the trash of this world and then begin to think, "Ah, Pastor, you shouldn't be preaching against that." Why? If God wants us to have a holy life, you know what? God cannot use a polluted vessel. Because God is holy. Oh yeah, He has grace as we, Lord, I'm polluted. Lord, I need Your help. God comes and cleans you up. Amen? No one is far away from the love of God. Amen? Come on. We need to be excited because you know why? There is hope for everyone who will come back to Christ. There's hope. And as a church, we need to help that hope. Because in Christ is hope. But many times the hope of Christ is sabotaged by people who do not understand the grace of God. All we need to stand for what is right. But at the same time say, God, I'm a sinner. I need Your help. You know what God does? Alright, come, I'll help you. We need to come as we are. But He chose to forgo pleasure. Can I ask you, what things are in your life? You know it's there that is hindering your effectiveness for God? Is it your friends? Is it immorality? Is it things you see on the internet? You know, effectiveness doesn't just need to be for God. What about your family? Are your family living for God? I thank God that there are some Christians here who are the only light in your family. Do you know why God put you as a light in that family? So that you can shine. Makes sense, right? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. See your good works. Can I say this? Men are not going to see God before they see us. We represent God. Like it or not. Because the word Christian means little Christ. And God put little Christ everywhere. Thank God we have people here whose family are non-believers and they are the only Christians. You are the light in that family. Don't douse that light. Don't allow Satan to whoop the light out. Live for Jesus. And let the light of Christ shine. So that people can come. Yes, it will take you. Yes, you have to deny yourself. Yes, there are certain things that you know you cannot do. But no, if you think of yourself, you say, why can't I do it as a Christian? Because your loved ones will die and go to hell. Is that a good enough reason? If they cannot see Christ in our life, we need to forego pleasure. Hebrews 12:1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. What sin is there in your life? Forgo it, Christian. Forgo it like Moses. He was willing to forgo the pleasures. He knew sin was pleasure for a season. But he's willing to forgo it. Number three, this is interesting because he chose to identify with the people of God. What I'm going to say might be hard on the ears of some. But Hebrews chapter 11 verse, he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. The word suffer affliction in the Greek means union in persecution. Union in persecution. That means Moses was willing to cast off his identity of a prince of Egypt, join ranks with the Jewish people, because he is a Jew, and say, I'm identifying myself, I'm a Jew. He was willing to take whatever maltreatment that he's, and when his brother goes through a hardship, he's together and he's helping that brother and he gets punched, he's identifying himself with the people of God. You know, I thought hard, Lord, can I apply this? There are many Christians who serve God faithfully in the local church, but many more Christians who stay apart and say, I'm not going to put my hands where I should identify myself with the people of God. Oh, I'm a child of God, I know. But are you in the local church where you put your hand, I'm going to identify when Ambassador Baptist Church goes through the hard times? Are you going to put your hand together with that? Thank God we have church members, but you know what? Can I challenge you who have been visiting? Church membership is still God's will. That's God's will. Moses was effective because he was identifying with a group of people, the most... you can say the Bible Act literally calls the children of Israel the church in the wilderness. Acts chapter 16, I believe. No, sorry, Acts chapter 7. Why is it hard to identify ourselves with a particular church? You know why? I don't want to be committed. God says you cannot be effective. Many Christians have gone through years and years of a lack of effectiveness. Because when you win someone to Christ, which church are you bringing him to? Which church will help to grow? Can I encourage you? Pray seriously about this. Because the local church, as much as man has destroyed it and made it look bad, the local church is still God's plan for the New Testament. By God's grace, Ambassador Baptist Church will stay closely in God's program with the Spirit of God, with grace, with truth.
Amen.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. With honesty and integrity, kind of like a presidential election. By God's grace, we will stay in here. Because this church is not my church. This church is Christ's church. I'm very clear. I do not have executive, or I do not have legislative rights. I just follow what my Savior tells me. And so must all of us. Amen? All of us, collectively, we decide based on what God says. As a pastor, I can propose, but I think you know. We pray together and we seek the Lord together. He chose to identify himself with the people of God. Some Christians are still churchless. Is it not Bible teaching to be a member of a local church whereby we can serve God and be useful for Him? I say this kindly. God's will is still for us to be in a local church, to serve God, to be effective. There are people in this church, Brother Frank, for example. You know, he may not be a church member. My heart goes out to him. He has an infection in his heart. And by God's will, I plan to visit him just to encourage him. We are called to do good. as Christians. But isn't it great when we can do good to a non-believer and say, hey, there's a church that loves you. And they do. I thank God for the love in this church. And I pray that God will help us to be focused, because we need to be focused on not what we think, but what God says. Moses was effective for God because he chose a straight and narrow way. When we want the praise of this world, we will never be effective for God. The straight and narrow way involves sometimes being maltreated for going sinful pleasures and identifying with the people of God. Thank God she's asleep, I can tell you. Okay, that's my daughter. On Wednesday, on Wednesday or Thursday, I was... Oh, she's awake. No, never mind, it's okay. Just rest. I know. She had the privilege of being persecuted for Christ. How about that? I'm a seven-year-old girl. She was trying to invite people to come to the children's sports day. And I was just behind. I was just watching her. And she had this 8 and 9 year olds in front of her. Or rather, sorry. She was talking. There's another situation. This situation, you're talking to someone about her age or slightly younger. And she was called names. She was called names. And after a while, she came to me and she began to cry. Now it was my privilege to hug her. And she cried. And said, what's wrong? Why? So what name you call him? And she named the name. It was my privilege to be able to teach her that being a Christian means sometime when you do what's right, following God is not easy. You know, when you take the wrong, it's fine. But when you see your loved one take the wrong, let me be honest with you. My first thought was to go to those girls and give it to them. But how am I going to teach her? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross. Follow me. Are we willing to choose the straight and narrow way? Many of our clothing is hand-me-downs. That's okay. Do we need the fashions of this world? Christians choose the straight and narrow way. Number 4, we'll close. Hebrews 11 verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Point number 4. Moses was effective for God because he was focused on Christ. Where do you get that, Brother Johnny? The word respect, he had respect unto the recompense. The word respect means he was fixed. And in a particular dictionary, I was reading this. He had respect to the recompense of the reward to the point he was ignoring everything else. Oh, that had a deep impression. Moses was able to be effective for God because he put his eyes on Christ, ignored everything else that was in the situation, in the environment. Everything else in the analysis and equation he took out and focused primarily on God. And I think you know, even in practical life, when a person is so focused on something, he achieves a lot. Right? Moses was so focused on Christ, nothing else matters to him. He had recompense of the reward. And you know, the beauty of this verse, esteeming the reproach of Christ. You know what's the meaning of reproach of Christ? The word reproach of Christ literally means the taunts, the reproach, the insults from haughty men and proud men. In other words, as you live for God, and people will look at you, are so silly, why you serve God? You're so... And you take this, and you say, I'd rather have this than live in sin. I'd rather have this than live in the world. That's what Moses did. He was so focused on the recompense of the reward. In other words, he was looking forward to what Christ was going to give to him. Christ was his goal. Christ was his target. That everything else doesn't matter. To the point that even if you punch him, even if you... Remember what Paul said, Acts chapter 20? None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry that the Lord Jesus Christ has given to me. Acts chapter 20. Paul says, look, why are you crying? I know the Holy Spirit say when I go to Jerusalem, they're going to arrest me and kill me. But you know what? These things are not going to disturb me. Because I'm so focused on Christ. Christians, are you so focused on Christ? When you become a Christian, you become a follower of Christ. A follower of Christ may have to go through hardship. We thank God in Singapore we have the freedom of worship. Let me ask you a question. What if the new president decides, I don't think he will, because he's a Christian, that Christians are not allowed to go to church anymore except in state-registered churches. And the Ambassador Baptist Church, and I believe all the independent Baptist churches, are not registered with the National Council of Churches because we believe in church separation. Because the National Council of Churches in Singapore is affiliated to the World Council of Churches, which is not, is an anti-Christian organization. But what if one day they say, you have to be registered in order to practice? Can I say this? I'll make my decision right now. Ambassador Baptist Church is not going to register Ambassador Baptist Church. Not going to register National Council of Churches. I'll register it right now. We can't. That would be compromise. Let's say we have a gathering at my house because we become illegal. Would you come? Would you come? Would you, like many Christians in other countries, in Beijing for example, they were kicked out of their premises, remember? And they were advised that if the police come and arrest you, just let them do it. Of course, I think they have another agenda of trying to make a stand. But you know what? As Christians, would you come? Or you say, hey, better don't. I mean, we have to be practical, you know, about this. Was Moses practical when he chose the hard way? Was Moses practical when he gave up everything that he could have gotten? Was Moses practical? No, he wasn't. But you know what? He was spiritually minded. He knew who was his boss. He knew who was the master of his life. Christians, we need to know who is the master of his life, of our lives. Is it not true that sometimes when we say the name of Christ, people do not like it? They would even laugh and ridicule and make fun of us as Christians. When we go tracting, we get this all the time. We thank God even our young people, you know. They get threatened with police reports. They get shouted at, ridiculed, insulted. This is in Singapore. I thank God for the people who keep on going. But perhaps they had respect unto the recompense of their reward. And of course, souls are dying. We need to keep going. We need to be effective for God. We can only be effective for God only when we are focused on Christ. As we close, I just want to finish with, if you don't remember anything I've said, just remember one word. Moses was completely effective for God because he was completely surrendered to God. Heart, mind, and soul, and body, and everything that he's got. And he was willing to do everything so that God would get the glory. And he was effective. You know how I know? God used him to lead 2 million people out of Egypt, close to the promised land, not into but close, raise up the next leader to take the nation of Israel into the promised land. Would you be effective where you are now? As I close, I just want to, parents, will you be effective in leading your children to serve God with all their hearts, all their mind, all their soul? Brother Johnny, I've blown it. If you've blown it, then bring it back. You know, you've blown it, fine, just bring it back. There's always hope in Christ, amen? You can always come back to Christ like the prodigal son. You can always do that. Families, parents, take back their responsibility. Christ is coming soon. There's no time left. Are you willing to do what is right? No, if you are the only light in your house, decide, by the grace of God, I'm going to burn my house down with my fire, amen? And let everyone know. I think it was, I can't remember who the man of God was. He says, when the church is on fire, the people will come and watch. Amen? You all don't believe that. You all need to think of, when the church is on fire for God, the people will come and watch. You know, when the Singaporeans are very capable, and right, got fire, or some, you know what, when the church is on fire, people will say, what's happening in that church? You know, we need to be on fire for God. The only way to be effective for God is that we are focused on the light of the world. If you want to shine as light, you need to be focused on the light of the world. If you are here today, you do not know Christ as your Savior, Ambassador Baptist Church wants you to be saved and trust Christ as your Savior. We're not after your money. We just want you to be effective in your life. Can I say one last thing? When you live your life at the end of your life, when you look back, would you be able to answer the question, what have I done for God? Is my life just making money and going through the whole process? Or God, you're giving a ministry, I intend to be faithful to it. Let's pray. Thank you for Moses, Lord. Thank you, our Heavenly Father, that you have given us a great example in the life of Moses. The Father, despite the all, despite the culture that he was in during that time, the Egyptian culture, Lord, he made a stand, he stood up and he stepped out to serve you. We know from your word, Father, that there is no middle ground between the world and Christ. And Father, I pray for Christians that their hearts will be so strong, Father, in following you. Father, even as we will sing, Father, the song, take the world but give me Jesus. Lord, I ask that you help us to mean it with all our hearts. With our eyes closed and heads bowed. Eyes closed, heads bowed, no one looking around. Is the Lord spoken to you? The things I say kindly. But I believe with all my heart, God has revealed himself in some way, in his word to us. And you say, Brother Johnny, there are certain things in my life, I know, I'm trying to straddle the two cultures, the culture of God, his principles, and the culture of this world. Can I challenge you? I know it may not be easy, but maybe you're saying, oh, Brother Johnny, pray for me that God will give me strength, that I might be set apart, both in my family, my Christian life, in my workplace, for you, for God. And if you have that in your heart, Brother Johnny, God has spoken to me about making my priorities clear, that I will seek first God's kingdom. Pray for me that God will give me the strength to put him first in all things. Is there anyone? Just put up your right hand, I'll pray for you. Amen. I see those hands. Amen. All over, from children all the way to the adults. Amen. And children, as you put up your hands, remember it's not a game. It's your commitment to the Lord. Some of us may be putting hands, but we just pray, I will pray for you. But you know what? You need to pray in your heart and say, God, as Moses refused, he decided. Lord, I need to decide too. Is there anyone else? Brother Johnny, pray for me. Amen. I see that hand. I will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Christ's honor will be my number one priority. Is there anyone else? Amen. I see that hand. I see that hand. Amen. Anyone else? I'm encouraged, even children are putting up their hands. But you know, parents, you know how great responsibility we have to lead them in the ways of righteousness for Christ's sake. Is there anyone else? If you're here today, say, Brother Johnny, I've blown it. I've blown it, I make decisions in the flesh. I've blown the whole thing. Can I say, there's always hope in Christ. There's always hope in Christ. Christ will never cast anyone out who will come to him willingly, totally surrender, repenting of their sin. And say, Brother Johnny, I've blown it. This church exists to love every sinner that comes in. Because we are all sinners, saved by God's grace. Who are we to judge?
But you know, we do want to help. As our Savior commanded us, love one another as I've loved you. If you have come and said, Brother Johnny, pray for me. There's things in my life that's just battered and torn. I want Christ in my life. I'm a Christian, I know that, but God, I need God to help me. I don't know how to help, but Christ can. But I do want to pray for you. Is there anyone that said, Brother Johnny, pray for me, that God will move in my heart and make the necessary changes? Is there anyone? Just pull up your right hand, I'll pray for you. Won't embarrass you? Let's put it up. Put it up and put it down. Anyone else? I've blown it. I need Christ. I need Him. Is there anyone else? Let's bow for the prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the hands that have gone up that say, Lord, I want to put you first. Lord, we know that the decision can be made now, Lord, but the expression of the decision could take a long time. Or Lord, as we struggle, well, I pray that everyone who has put up their hand, Father, they will not put off. They will not put off the action of doing what they need to do. Lord, if it's a sin, they have to give up. Help them to give it up. If it is disrespect to parents, Lord, may they surrender that and say, Lord, I will be honorable. I will honor my parents. If it is stealing, if it is immorality, if it's anything, God, that is hindering them for the effectiveness for you in this culture of this world, Lord, I pray you give them the strength to overcome. Otherwise, go find someone that they can be accountable to, that God, they can overcome. Lord, we need you to help us in this overcoming effort. Lord, without you, we can do nothing. Lord, we acknowledge our weakness. Many times we fail, Lord. Father, we pray that you will give us the grace that we need, the strength that we need to take the next step of faith. Lord, to do what is right for your honor and glory. God, I pray for some who is struggling between doing what is right. I pray you help them. For those, Father, who needs to take a step of faith in baptism to obey you, I pray, God, they will not delay their decision, but to be obedient to you, Lord. Father, I pray for our visitors that, Lord, if you are calling them to join us to serve in the north, Father, I pray you touch their hearts. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. Lord, you have blessed us so much. We want to be faithful to you, Lord, in all that we do. Thank you for what you're going to do. Father, we pray for special grace upon every one of us, Lord. Thank you for what you're going to do, Lord, in our lives. As we close in just one song, we pray that God, you will touch us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We just sing one stanza. The first stanza of Take the World, but Give Me Jesus.